Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Hello and welcome to Opinionated Marketers with Charles Nixon and me, Kieran Kapoor. Charles, since we spoke last week, the Bank of England has put the base rate of interest up by 0.5%, and interest rates are now higher than they've been in a very long time. So it seemed a good idea to sort of talk about what does that actually mean and then relate that back to business and marketers. So can you explain what's happened?
Essentially speaking, the Bank of England is somewhat behind the curve in reacting to the rise in inflation. Inflation's caught quite a few of the central banks off guard for various reasons, mainly because inflation has been stoked by the war in Ukraine, as well as supply side issues that have meant there's been a constraint in supplying of goods. This has then been exacerbated by the element that's sometimes referred to as the Great Resignation, but there is an element there which is by the fact that there are not as many people who are in wanting to be in employment, means that we have the same situation after a pandemic, that people want higher wages for the work that they do. There are many reasons for that, but we'll come back to those another time. So the result of which is that there is inflation in the system. And the one way in which the Bank of England or any central bank can deal with this is to put up interest rates, which make it harder for people to get credit, and the result of which is that should reduce demand. The Bank of England's 0.5% is lower than some expected, and the likelihood is it will go up again, and we may well see interest rates of maybe 2.5% towards the end or next year. For marketers, this means that essentially this has got to be an additional cost to suppliers as well as to companies who may well be running on debt. So their loans will increase, their overdrafts will increase in cost, and those costs have got to be accommodated. In a time of inflation, one of the aspects that that will stoke, of course, is that some of that will get passed on to the consumer. Some of it will get passed on to your company in terms of suppliers' costs. So the result of which is that you need to think very clearly about your pricing policy, your positioning policy, and the way in which your brand can accommodate either increased prices or is going to position itself in a competitive environment.
Yes, there's also the other element of it is making certain that any suppliers that you rely on are going to be financially safe. So I think there's going to be a huge rise in the checking of due diligence, particularly around financial probity and financial security. You don't want to find that you've signed a contract with somebody who then goes bust because they've got cash flow problems. Cash flow damages more businesses than any other thing that comes along. So I think the due diligence and worrying about whether your suppliers are going to be important, equally that applies to your customers. You don't want to be signing up a big deal and then discovering that your customer can no longer honour their side of the deal and maybe leaving you with costs and stocks. So it becomes a wider issue when you see interest rates rising.
Yes, I think you have to be imaginative here. So from a customer perspective, you need to think about new financing options, innovative ways of allowing customers to pay. From a supplier perspective, then this might be the point at which you need to think about how you might assist them in overcoming any difficulties if they're crucial. Resilience has been something we've talked about in the past because of the supply chain problems as the world adjusted its globalization stance after the pandemic. So we now have to think as to whether or not the supplier can actually keep going because of finance. There were an estimated, I believe, 500,000 companies in the UK which were known as zombie companies before the pandemic. These were companies that were surviving by paying the interest on their loans and overdrafts and not actually paying any of it back. And this was always heralded as being a major flaw in the UK economy when we get to a point at which interest rates should rise. Now, of course, it's a double whammy because you've got inflation and interest rates rising. So we have a situation of these zombie companies probably starting to go bust on a fairly regular basis. So as you quite rightly say, due diligence and discussions with your suppliers is important.
There is an upside to inflation, which we haven't actually touched on before, which although inflation erodes the value of your money because it erodes your spending power. So if I have £100 now, I can buy with it now and what I'll be able to buy with it when inflation does hit the predicted 13% is going to be significantly less then. That actually also affects the value of any loans that you've taken out. So there is an upside, ironically, to inflation.
In a time of high inflation, the argument has been that extended debt is something to be considered. The reason being that obviously, as you say, £100,000 taken out as a loan now will be worth a lot less because of inflation when you come to pay it back, so it'd be a lot easier. This, of course, makes the assumption that you can continue to service the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And if inflation rises and therefore interest rate rises, you've got to be able to manage that. We have seen in the past the negative equity issues in the housing marketplace at the turn of the century and the end of the last. And we've obviously got these zombie companies we talked about. So the amount of debt in pounds will seem less as inflation bites. The other aspect is that there are a large number of people, usually the over 50s, who are net asset positive. And many of those assets are earning very little by way of interest. The result of which is an interest rate rise actually starts to pay a small amount extra. So these people become slightly more well off. That obviously has to be compensated for by the inflation. So there's a two-edged sword to it for a fairly wealthy part of the economy now. In the old days, when we talk about 70s inflation, the majority of the population was under 45 or perhaps even under 35, the result of which was that it affected everybody and there was very little that was going to be gained. But here we have a large number of people who have a large number of assets, which will now start to earn a reasonable amount of income.
Yes, I think what we're saying, as we often say in these, is that there are upsides and downsides, there are winners and losers. The main thing that I've also taken away from this is now that the governor of the Bank of England was actually almost apocalyptic in what he was talking about. I did feel he needed a stiff drink, actually. He did talk about the fact that we are going back to the 1970s before we've seen a recession of this magnitude before. And I do want to finish on an upside of, we got through that one. It wasn't much fun, as I understand it, but the economy did get through it, people got through it, and things did grow again. So it shouldn't be quite as apocalyptic, perhaps, as it comes. But you do have to have very, very long memory. Longer than mine, I'm afraid, to actually remember what that was like. And of course, it's a very different era.
Oh, I do remember it. And I think I probably would just sign off by saying, get your flared trousers out. there are some rather nasty downsides to it, not least of which is social unrest. The 1976 analogy is obviously topical at the moment because of the heat wave and the reference back to 1976 as the last major drought that we had. But there were some serious issues then in terms of the body politic. You know, we had a 3-day working week, there were rolling power cuts, fuel was rationed. So, you know, it's not so much the issue of actually the price is high. You couldn't get the fuel, so you could only go and buy it with a coupon. We had general elections on a fairly regular basis, including two in 1974. So there is a lot of downside. I don't see that it is necessarily the same in terms of the economics. It's just a popular media approach to give people a picture of what it is. But that, to some degree, stokes fears. I think that it will undoubtedly be different. We are a much more globalised economy than we were in those days. And we are affected, therefore, by more global events. So the thing probably to watch out for, rather than strikes, perhaps, is, you know, how long does the war in Ukraine go on, and therefore pushes up the aspect of fuel prices, which is one of the biggest drivers. If you look at our inflation, food and services is an element of it, but fuel is perhaps the biggest one. And so once the fuel shock's been brought out of the system, then inflation possibly should go down.
I was trying to finish on an upbeat, but that's a slightly more probably realistic...
Boring note, sorry.
No. I think that was a slightly more realistic note to finish on. Charles, lovely as ever to speak to you.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content.
From Cambridge Marketing College.